Many of you are going to, in time, whether you are in full-time ministry or in just as a layman, you're going to step into churches that have great needs. I think I'm becoming more and more overwhelmed by the needs that pastors and churches have. And they're really crying out, do you have help? Do you have somebody that can come and we need a couple, we need a youth pastor, we need somebody just to come and run a ministry. And sometimes I sit back and think, I wish I could just give them a whole list of people that they can just contact and that person fills that void right away. But it's lacking a little bit. And as I've prayed, as I've considered some of these things, I think what's happened, and I think you'll agree with me because I'm not preaching this at anyone in particular today. But I'm preaching this idea with a message, with a purpose, in the sense of I think many Christians have sat back and we've gotten satisfied with what we have done. We feel like, well, I work on a bus route. I sing in the ensemble. I left my home to come to Northwest Indiana and it's mid-March and we're still getting snow. What is wrong with these people? And I preach in a junior church, or I make meals for the bus route, or I do this, and we've done a lot of things, and that's great. But I'd like to say there's more to be done. And much of this more to be done is going to come from this crowd. I'm tired. You know, I feel like, man, I'm aging quickly. I don't know what's going on. And I love the fact, yesterday was just a blessing for me to work with the college ensemble. They just went in, and it was a long day, but they just ran the youth rally. They sang. They were hacking while they were singing. But just the joy for me to see them all out all day long was fun. And I'm looking 10 years from now thinking that you will be the ones leading these ministries. And there ought to be something when you leave to say, I don't want to just be status quo. I don't want to just be average. I'd like to have a church that something is happening. Pastor Kuntz and I were at lunch talking about this yesterday. And of course, he's running Neighborhood Bible Time. And he says 10 years ago to now, just the difference in the how the Neighborhood Bible Time programs run is quite different. Just to get volunteers to teach classes and to get volunteers to run activities, he says, I'm not trying to gossip and criticize. He's like, but it's way harder because people are just not interested in doing much more. And I know you might feel like, ah, I'm so busy and I'm swamped and I just can't breathe because it's the next thing. But this is for the Lord that we're talking about. And I'm overwhelmed. The Lord's just kind of just, I'm heavy-hearted about the teenagers that many of you guys work with. And there's more for them that need to happen. And I'd love that all of us join hands and say, with the message today, I want to go and do a little more for Jesus. I sat back and watched a lot of competition Thursday night through Friday. And some things annoyed me throughout the day, and some things encouraged me. I was encouraged by the effort of the teenagers on the floor, and the blood and the sweat and the body odor that filled the gym. One of the secretaries, I'm like, I didn't see you at the tournament. She said, well, I walked in and I walked right out. It stunk so bad in there. I like intensity. I like effort. I like when people get after it, but sometimes I wonder, where is that in the church house? And some of us, you know, we might be on a bus and there's 5, 10, 15 kids and we complain why there's not that many kids to work with. But I have to ask, what are we doing to see more happen? And I'm asking myself the same question. I'm not preaching at you today. But you think, well, I'm going to graduate and then I'm going to turn on the switch and I'm going to start getting more busy. No, you won't. What you're doing now, you're laying the pattern for what you're going to do next year and the next year and the next year. I have problems. I have habits that I developed when I was in college that I still deal with today. Because I got in the mode of procrastination. Ugh. You're looking at me like, oh, are you preaching on procrastination? No, because I don't want to be at the altar. I worked midnights for a year and a half, 2 years. And I toughed it through my classes and I toughed it through my ministries. But I'll say this. Look here close. My walk with Jesus stunk. It stunk. So while you can say, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that, more power to you, but you better have a walk with Jesus. And I waded my way through college in a lot of ways, waded my way through the first years of ministry, waded my way through the first years of marriage because I had to find a walk with Jesus. And that's what Pastor Kuntz and I were talking about. I said, man, these guys come and they don't have a walk with God. They don't know what it's like and they've got this problem, that problem. And there's some of you, you know, some of you I've talked to and we pray together and we work with and try to encourage. But some of us have a struggle with just having our 15 minutes devotions. And you're going to lead churches? And girls? I know I harp on the guys, but you're going to be raising kids and doing the majority of the work? You better have a walk with Jesus. And sorry, but reading a problem of the day is not a walk with Jesus. I'm guilty of these things. And I'd like to just, in a real simple way, look at our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I tell you what, when you're having difficulties, the best place to go is to Him. Because you'll find no fault. And you'll find the perfect way to live your life. So, Matthew 26, verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. The next phrase is our text. And he, not they, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now flip over, keep your hand there, keep a marker there. Flip over to Luke chapter 22. Comparable passage. Luke 22, verse 39. Are you there? And he, Jesus, came out, went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Now here is what tells us how much further up the path Jesus went. And he was withdrawn from them, how far? About a stone's cast. I grabbed a stone. I won't throw it in here. I could throw a stone pretty decent distance. I don't know, probably someone here could throw it much farther than me, but typically when you throw a stone, most everybody can see where it lands. So it's with an eye shot. So here we have a group of disciples. Jesus said, sit here. And obediently, they did. Then he took three. They went a little beyond where the other disciples were sitting. He says, hey, would you just tarry with me and watch with me and watch and pray that you don't enter temptation. And then the Bible says he, Jesus, went a little further. He was withdrawn from them just about a stone's cast away. I'd like you to just kind of look up the path just for a little bit and see Jesus. He's within eye shot. But within that eye shot, he was there, and we know what he was praying. It was a pretty serious moment of his prayer life, was it not? Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And the Bible says when he prayed, his sweat was as it were, what? Great drops of blood. I would say it was an intense moment in the life of Christ. Three disciples missed it. Eight other disciples missed it. And it was just a stone's throw away. Here's my challenge today. I don't know how far I'll get. I wasn't planning to preach very long anyways, but I want to just encourage you to go a little farther. Just a stone's cast away. Would you pray with me this morning? Pray for me as we look at this text. Lord, you know my heart, I really want to be a blessing. I really want to be a help. But sometimes we get so satisfied. I get so satisfied with where I am. I'm doing enough. But when I stop and think about my life, I know there's more I can do. I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Use this text as you have used it in my heart. In Christ's name, amen. How many feel like you're pretty busy? You can raise your hand because I know you all think it. You're like, oh no, now where are you going with this? And you've heard all of the time management factors, 168 hours in a week and blah, blah, blah. And I look at my life sometimes, I'm like, man, I'm just swamped. I'm just busy. But you know, I still have time to fill out a tournament bracket. Because I want to win $1 million. And I'll help pay all of your school bills. Well, not really. I still have time to check out highlights. I still have time to goof around. I still have time to do this, that, or the other. And so do you. Sometimes you're just like, man, I just don't have time to read my Bible. Now, I was talking to someone a while back, and I was talking about me being a pastor, and they're like, oh no, not you. That is not you. I'm like, thank you, love you too. And I know one of my main weaknesses is I'm not the type of person to go around like checking into people's Facebook accounts and social media. I'm just not interested in that. I'd rather just see somebody one-on-one. Hey, how you doing? Let's pray together. Let's encourage one another. And I know as pastors and as leaders, sometimes you got to dig a little bit and find out, hey, what's this person really like? But what I've come to understand is people come and say, I'm saying, hey, man, that Teasdale guy, he's a great guy. And I'm like, have you seen his whatever page? And I'm like, no. Do you know that he has this picture or... I'm like, no. That bothers me. That we can have two different lives. We can amen the preaching on certain things, but sometimes our lives in our private life are different than our public life. That's a problem. And I know you feel like, hey, I got this safe escape where I can kind of conceal what my real life is, but you put it out for everybody to see. I don't understand it. But we have time to build our profiles, and we have time to put all these things in. And I'm not saying any of that's bad unless it's dishonoring to God. And our private life and our public life should match up. People shouldn't have to say, no, you see him here, but you don't know what's going on over there. That should bother us. And we have so much time to do this and do that, but for some reason when it comes to the Lord Jesus, it's like, I'm not interested in giving out tracts. I'm not interested in seeing people say, listen to me, I'm praying for a revival at Fairhaven Baptist Church and Fairhaven Baptist College and in our youth. I really am, and I want to be a part of it. But if we're not reading our Bibles and praying, we're not going to have revival. And if we're not reading our Bibles and praying, we're not going to be interested in souls. And guys, excuse me, sometimes it's like we spend so much time in video games. Video games are not sin. But when we put more time into that than passing out tracts and out bus visiting, there's a problem. And I'm talking to myself. Do you really want revival? Do you really want God's power? Or maybe you're just like, eh, I don't really care. You think about people that go to the Olympics and they get second or third place. To me, that's a big deal. You're second best in the world. But you see the look on their faces after they lose. And they have put everything on the line for 4 years, for 8 years, for 12 years to be at the top of the podium. I would say second is okay, third is okay, but they're not there for that. And I really think too often we settle for second and third best for the Lord. Matthew 26, verse 36, Jesus says, "Sit ye here while I go pray yonder." And guess what they did? Okay, we're just going to be a good boy and we're just going to sit here. We've got good kids in our college. Sorry, good young men and young ladies in our college. We have good teenagers in our youth group. And I know you guys get picked on all the time. But I love being a part of this. But sometimes we're just so satisfied with being good. When the next step is being godly. This is important. So are we just going to say, well, okay, I'm just going to sit here. Verse 39, Luke 22, don't turn that. It says, he came out and went as he was wont. It gives the idea that this was a place that was frequented. It was a place that he went to often. But again, I picture the disciples, the three disciples, could look up and see Jesus up the path, and maybe in their minds, like, I wonder what he's doing. Oh, he prays, but do you want, this thought crossed my mind as I was reading this text. Do you think if Peter or James or John would have said, Jesus, can we come up there with you and pray? He would have said no. He probably would have welcomed them. You ever wonder why the disciples were faced with such questions as, where's your faith? Or, Lord, teach us to pray, when they had every opportunity to pray with him. Some of us settle for the 30-fold Christian life. Some of us settle for the 60-fold Christian life, when we should be settling for the, help me out, 100-fold Christian life. Well, yeah, I was preaching last night, and man, I was telling the story of how my dad got saved, praise the Lord, but then I stopped and thought, that was 20-some years ago. Shouldn't we be telling stories today about what happened yesterday? Are you with me? I know we're tired. Stay with me. But shouldn't we be talking? I was able to lead that person to the Lord. Again, do you feel like you're just going to turn the switch on, teenagers? You should be leading people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. But man, I can talk about 20-some years ago, my dad got saved and I prayed and I got serious when I should be doing it now. We should be doing just a little bit more. Can we not do that? Meditation. Who likes to meditate? I don't. My hand is staying right here on the pulpit. I don't meditate. Yeah, you do. Where's JJ? We were talking about meditation Saturday night. JJ meditates on fishing. I could care less about fishing. I could just picture him sitting there like, oh, the lures. Oh, my tackle box. Oh, if I could just have such and such fishing pole. Oh, if I could just be on Fishing America or whatever these things are. And he could just dwell on that and like go up to the fifth heaven thinking about fishing. And I could care less. And there's some of you, I don't know, Emily dreams up books. Like, if I could just live in a library, I would sit upon the fifth shelf and just fold my legs Indian style, and I would just meditate on books. We all meditate on something, but can I encourage you, meditate on Jesus. Think about him. You know, but yeah, I did my devotions. All 12 minutes of it. But you have a whole lot more time that you can think on Jesus. I guess what I'm saying is, I'm not here to preach on what you're not doing. I'm saying, if you are doing something, can we go just a little further? Can we go up the path with Jesus and say, I want to be where the real battle's being fought? Because I've learned this, the battle is always won before the battle takes place. If you can get your standards now, when you're tempted later, you don't have to have a problem because you already set your standards in your life. If you can get the power of God alone in your closet when the battle comes, you already have the power of God. It was then Jesus could say, not my will, but thine be done. He won that battle in the prayer room, if I can say it that way. When the battle came, it wasn't a problem. But what's our prayer closet like? So when you don't go a little further, I'll say this, you start missing out. That's point number one. You're going to miss out. Look at Matthew 26, verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, if you remember, Peter was willing to do the Master's will. We'll talk about it in just a moment. I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I will die for thee, right? That's what he said. I think a lot of us are willing. I'll be willing to do this. I'll be willing to do this. I'll be willing. But when it comes down to making the decision, for some reason, when Peter got faced with a test, what did he do? See ya. He disappeared. Missing out. Number two. I call this maxing out. Interesting enough, Luke chapter 22, verse 43, it says, And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Who did it strengthen? Jesus. Do you see the angel strengthening Peter, James, and John? No. Because when you're willing to go a little further, you're willing to get on your face, while Peter and John were sleeping, James and John were sleeping, Jesus was fighting the battle and the angel came and strengthened him. Now, did Peter begin to fight? He did. He was willing. He started to fight. He actually got a sword and started chopping ears off. That was irritating. That was for you, Clint. But somewhere he got tired out. Guilty. Guilty. I saw a lot of the guys on the court on Friday, and they're going up and down, like third quarter. We're all going to get tired. But what happens is, if you don't get power from God, you're going to max out on your own strength. The flesh will fail you every single time. We must have the power of God. I know this is common knowledge. But I'm telling you, I feel like we just go through our day-to-day routine, we get tired, and we just try to continue on in our own strength. And tell me, do you get frustrated with this? I do. And you know what I got to find myself doing? I got to get back home, I got to get back somewhere, I got to get alone with Jesus, and get that strength back from Him, because I've just maxed out in my own strength. Missing out. Maxing out. And then the next step is, I call it running out. Look at Matthew 26, verse 53. Jesus says this, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That's confidence. But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, and that thus it must be? In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and he laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And Peter started fighting, but it didn't take long for him. If you'll look at verse 58 of Matthew 26, Peter followed him afar off. Can I ask you this morning, how's your relationship with Jesus? Do you remember the time when you were super close? And you could walk with Him, you could talk with Him, you could pray, you had the confidence. Now watch. I don't think you're not willing to be close to Jesus, but it's easy when you're not willing to go a step further and to continue close to Him. It's easy to say, I'll stand with you, but the next thing you know, you'll find yourself afar off. This is dangerous territory for us. You fail to go further with Jesus, and then you go further away from Jesus. So here's my question. Can you do more for God in your life? This is a pretty simple sermon. I understand this. Have you just gotten tired? Now, Jesus says, sleep on now. He told him that. Just keep sleeping. I don't want Jesus to tell me to sleep on. I want to say, wake up, let's go. Would you go further with me? It's just a stone's throw away. Christ, at His death, took time to get one more soul. You look at men in the Scriptures, like a man by the name of Gideon. You see his life, but then you see he failed at the end, didn't he? Instead of worshiping false gods. Noah had a great victory. He failed at the end. Demas started out with the Apostle Paul. He failed at the end. You can go down the list. Here's my challenge, very practical challenge. I don't know how many are in here. 100 and, we'll say 150. I'm an evangelist. 150. What if? Let's just lay it out. 150 of us said, I will pray, watch me close, just one more hour a week. That's about 8.5 minutes more a day. That would be 150 hours of prayer. 150 people said, all right, I go visiting, but I will pass out one track a week. That's 150 tracks a week. Multiply that by 50, I have no idea. You can help me out later on. Every person says, I'm going to encourage one person a day. You see how the multiplication factor adds up? It's not that much more. But it's you saying, I will do one more hour, one more person, one more track, and that type of thing starts to add up. And what happens is, there's excitement because everybody's going a little bit further. It could be on your bus route. You go to your bus captain and say, you know what? I haven't really stepped up to the task. I'm a good sitter on the bus. I'm a good hand marker. I'm a good cup passer outer. I'm a good trash picker upper. I don't know if these are even words. But I want to go a little further. Can I come to you? Can you just give me something else to do? You say, but Brother Ramos, you don't know. I need my nap. You'll need more of a nap if you go a little further. We got our, what, 12-minute nap yet? Well, I got my 12-minute nap with the ensemble yesterday. They slept a lot longer. I was tired yesterday. I was worn out. But you know what? When I got home, it was a good tired. And some of us are tired, but it's not a good tired because we're staying up late doing nonsense. I don't have time for Jesus, but I sure have time for my flesh. And you're just as tired as the person that's serving Jesus. And it's your fault. Because you can just say, well, I'm just going to sit here while they go and pray yonder. How about you say, you know what? I'm tired of sitting here and just being a good boy or a good girl. I'm going to go a little further with Jesus. I'd like to go up there and find out what's going up there, up the path just a little bit more. This is for me. I can go a little further. What could be done more in our world if everyone just went a little bit further? I believe God can bring a revival, and it may be started through a young lady in our college, if you're willing to go a little further. Wouldn't that be exciting? If our youth group started seeing teenagers get saved, that ought not to be abnormal. But are we just satisfied by saying, you know, yeah, I do that. I fulfill my ministry report. Let's put it in perspective just for a moment. Let's say Annette, Amanda, and Ann. You guys all graduate this year, right? Let's just say they say, we're not going to come to Fairhaven Baptist College next year. We're going to train to be fire women. So they go through all the firewomen courses and they graduate together and they get all the firewomen gear, their shiny uniforms, their all the equipment, they've done all the training, and they're at the Westville Fire Department. That's where they're stationed. They're trained that when the alarm goes off, they get their gear on, they jump on the trucks, they go, and here we have the three trained firewomen. Exciting stuff. I'm feeling really safe right about now. Holy smokes. Fire goes off out in Westville. This is their first opportunity to actually put their training into action. And here they go. The alarm goes off. They get the gear on. Of course, they're firewomen's skirts, of course. and the truck takes off. Not neither of them are driving because we want them to get to the location. So they pull into the place. Fire's blazing. Ann jumps off. She's like, "This is cool." Like, wow! I've never seen a fire that she's standing. She's just admiring the fire. Amanda jumps off. She's like, she didn't say anything. She just like starts to unroll the hose. She's watching. Annette, however, she jumps off. She's like, "Yeah!" And she jumps off and she runs into the house. And there's people crying for help. And she goes in and there's Ann still. There's Amanda still. And that goes in and she sees an individual there struggling and she's able to pull them out to safety. And she goes back in and she pulls another one out to safety. She goes back in and the timber's beginning to fall and she hears a cry from somewhere else and she, maybe some of the timber falls and hits her and she goes down, but she's able to scramble out and grab another person to safety. And she comes back out and maybe there's one last child just crying out, "Help, help." And she's tired and she's weary, but she goes back in. And maybe you see as you're watching, as Anne continues to admire and as Amanda continues to unravel the hose, and she's standing there, and she goes back in again, and you see her maybe fall beneath just the heat, and she's down, and she gets back up, and she goes and rescues that last individual, and she pulls him out to safety. The reporters all gather. They're there. The fire's been put out. And comes to Ann. "So, how was your first experience dealing with fire?" Like, "It was cool." I mean, her uniform has not been messed up at all. The fire women's skirt is still exactly at this modest length. It hasn't been. I mean, it's unbelievable. And she's there. I mean, she's got a smell of smoke upon her. Her hair is still in place. All of it. And she tells her story basically saying, "It was cool." And then there's Amanda. She has an interpreter because she doesn't speak. And basically they say, "So Amanda, how was your first fire?" And she's like... And basically what she says is, "I was able to hold the hose." I mean, like, the water pressure was really powerful. Then I'd have help lifting it because my arms aren't big enough. And then the reporter looks around and he sees the active one. And she's off to the side. And she's sitting there kind of just exhausted. And her uniform's really messed up. It's actually, it's all black. And it's just an absolute mess. He looks over it and her head's in her hands and she's just exhausted. But he goes to her and says, "So how was it?" And what type of story is she going to tell? Just the difficulties, because she was actually in the blaze. She rescued people. And the satisfaction for her when she lays her head down at night, I'm sorry, is going to be better than Amanda's and Ann's. You know why? Because she went a little further. Could the other two see her? Absolutely. But much of our life hinges on how much further are we going to go up the path. So here is his application. Do you believe that there's people going to go to hell? But we stand and we see where they are. "Oh yeah. Oh, that's a bad situation. I hope things go well for them." Are you willing to go a little further? Just a stone's throw away is where the action is. Don't miss out on doing the will of God because you're not willing to go a little further. I'm over my time. Let's close in prayer. Lord.